Best practices for harm reduction programs call for flooding a community with clean hypodermic syringes. Research shows that in addition to reducing the incidence of bloodborne pathogens in the community, effectively run programs help remove potentially infectious syringes from the community. But some people say that wasn't happening in Charleston. Our health reporter, Carol Lofton, took a deep look into the shutdown of the state's largest harm reduction program in West Virginia. She spoke with Assistant News Director Glennis Board about what she found.
So, Kara, in your first report, you talked about how the number of discarded syringes people were finding in public places in Charleston began to explode. When did that happen, and what was the fallout?
So reports of needles found in public places in Charleston began to escalate about a year ago. In October of 2017, the Public Safety Office Metro 911 established a code for needle pickup calls to help the city accurately collect data on locations, numbers, and types of needles to be picked up. Let's listen to one of those calls.
Charleston Fire 408.
Hey, Metro. You got needle pickups?
I appreciate it.
And that's going to be in the alleyway on the ground. There's kids out with...
Oh, okay. I'll go get it.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
In an interview, Mayor Danny Jones said that the city tried numerous times to complain about needle litter. But then-Health Officer Michael Brummage took issue with the assertion that the health department ignored these complaints. And he pointed to attempts to address it, such as the founding of the Statewide Harm Reduction Coalition. Here's what Brummage said.
One of the objectives was to offload the city of Charleston so that there would be other programs so we didn't have to distribute as many syringes from the city of Charleston and that they would be able to go closer to where they lived.
So it wasn't long until the city came up with this idea of retractable needles, right?
Yeah, that's right. So about a week after the Metro 911 established a pickup code, the city proposed running a pilot program with retractable needles. And those are needles that once you use them, they retract back into a plastic chamber. And the idea was that if the needles could only be used once, then the risk of needle stick injuries to the community and then first responders as well would be much reduced. At the time, then-Health Officer Brummage was all for the idea. Writing in an email to City Attorney Paul Ellis, he said basically that the limitations are acceptability and cost, and if they got support or donated supplies, that he was for a pilot with evaluation from outside researchers.
So did they find someone to donate?
Yeah, they did. The Charleston Fire Department found a retractable needle manufacturer willing to donate needles in exchange for data on how well they worked. And everyone appeared to be on board with the pilot starting in the spring of 2018.
But what you said appeared, what happened?
Well, as he mentioned in the email, Brummage got in communication with a researcher at Johns Hopkins who told him that retractable needles were unpopular among IV drug users. For one thing, they can only use them once. So if they run out of needles, then users sometimes revert back to sharing equipment. So because of this, in 2010, the National Harm Reduction Coalition issued a statement against auto-disable syringes, saying that they don't help control epidemics of HIV, hepatitis C, and other bloodborne viruses among people who inject drugs, which is the whole point of doing a needle exchange in the first place. So Brummage told me he had to make a decision.
So at that point, I was kind of in a bind since I told the city we would implement the retractable syringe program. But now I knew if we did, we'd actually be putting the public at risk.
So given the current recommended practices, Brummage and the Johns Hopkins researcher decided to reduce the pilot from everyone to about 10 to 12 people. In meeting minutes from a call, Brummage's staff appeared to confirm the new plan with the company that had agreed to donate the syringes. Brummage says he then thought the needle manufacturer told the city about the change.
I see. But no one did?
No, they didn't. So city officials say they felt blindsided several weeks later when they learned that the pilot program no longer included the entire patient population and instead just 10 to 12 people. Here's Danny Jones.
They refused retractable needles.
It was more complicated than that, but it honestly probably felt that way to the city due to the lack of or miscommunication, whatever you want to call it. And I mean, remember, law enforcement, emergency responders, and some members of the community were now expressing a lot of concern, and they felt like they had to do something. Danny Jones again.
I want to protect the public. I want to protect the law-abiding public.
So what did they end up doing?
In late March of this year, 2018, Police Chief Steve Cooper decided, as he was legally empowered to do, that among other things, only retractable needles may be lawfully distributed by the health department. Brummage again.
Basically directing the health department to adapt what appear to be from the medical literature dangerous and unethical practices.
But other experts say making a harm reduction program that fits the needs of the community takes a lot of compromise. Here's former Commissioner for Public Health Rao Gupta.
Public health has never been and will never be about my way or your way. It will always be what's the best way to put science and marry that with art and put it into practice.
But they ended up suspending the program, right? I mean, are there plans to reopen it?
Yeah, they did suspend it, and no, there are no plans to reopen it. But from a public health perspective, harm reduction programs are still the best tool the city has to prevent the spread of needle-borne illnesses. The science is pretty strong on that. But politically, from both Danny Jones and Dr. Michael Brummage, the program is dead in the water.
Great. Well, that is fascinating information. And tomorrow we'll hear about a program in Fayette County that's trying to learn from what happened in Charleston, right?
That's right.
Great. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thanks very much, Kara.
Thank you.
That was our health reporter, Kara Lofton, speaking with Assistant News Director Glennis Board. Join us tomorrow to hear the next story in a series that explores stigma, politics, and the possible impacts of closing the state's largest harm reduction program.